and a negative value on a woman's sexuality. That's the way I see it, and that's been my experience. And that's very much what I get reflected to me, like through comments on the blog and through the conversations I've had with people.
Nana, you said something that made me wonder, like made me think, because this is a response to the gentleman who asked the question. Like I said, I have all brothers. I come from a family of men. And I think that just from the company that I keep, because I know a lot of guys and they talk to me quite openly, I know that there's this feeling that guys have that women have all the power. That when it comes to sex, women have all the power. And there's this premium that's placed on a vagina, and you know, like women get to call the shots, women get to decide who to give it to, and if you're a guy, your penis has no value. And I don't necessarily think that your perception is wrong. I'm sorry, I don't know your name. But I feel like that is usually the only power that is given to women. And the system that sets that up is actually really damaging. And it's because men have a lot of the other power in the world. So there's a system that teaches women that the only value they have is between their legs. And it teaches some women that is the only power that they have in the world. It's the only power they have over men. And so they can wield it with, you know, whatever they want. But the flip side of it is also that when women choose to give away what is between their legs indiscriminately, society punishes them by calling them names and by, you know, ostracizing them and by saying nobody will marry you and then and then and then. So I think that it's this very interesting system where women actually don't have the power. And a vagina is not more important than a penis. A vagina is just very important to the penis that wants to sleep with it. But in the grand scheme of the world, like, people with vaginas have no power or very little power in comparison to people with penises. But in one-to-one interactions, because men have been taught to want sex and women have been taught to deny sex, because of that game that people play, then it seems that women have all the power. But in essence, it's not true.
What I'd like to add to it is, in a roundabout way, though the problem is how it happens, the vagina is generally seen as having more premium than the penis. Though hip-hop culture will let you know that. It's all about she wants the D, but the man wants the P. That's what it's all about. But you can't... They can't let you know that, so I don't know why it's like that, but it's made to look like the vagina is lesser and Charlie, I can have it when I want it, so just give it to me. But if you realize everything just comes down to sex with a woman. If a man is unhappy, it's sex with a woman. I mean, it's that. And I think men do realize that, but they want to control that by, okay, let's make it look like we are the bigger thing. So yeah, it's all about she wants the D. And they've got girls saying she wants the D. You know?
I just wanted to say that we have been brought up to think that, well, everybody has said it here, that the man is supposed to ask for sex and then we are supposed to decide whether we're going to say yes or no. And so when I hear women or girls say that, and he slept with me, my question is, but she also slept with him. You know, how is it that you can say he slept with me? He can't sleep with you without sleeping with him unless it was rape or abuse, you know? But if it was consensual sex, then you slept together and you should get it out of your head that he slept with you. If you did not sleep with him, then don't do it at all. It's something that you should be enjoying. So he slept with me, he took my virginity. I don't understand it. I've never understood it because I won't sleep with a person that I don't want to sleep with. And when I want to sleep with you and you don't want to sleep with me, that would also not happen. So if it is happening, then we both want it. And no one person can take the credit for it. We slept together.
Thank you. Yeah, sorry. I can see two hands. I think you might have some.
We're
going to
say that. I've been asking forever, though.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
Oh, I haven't been going.
First of all, I just would like to say thank you for sharing the stories. But I'm curious as to something, because I know as an African American, it's always like these sexual issues, especially, we're sort of taught like don't really put it out there in public. You know, it's almost like you should deal with it as a family or within your circle. So I'm just curious as to what kind of feedback some of you guys got who share your personal stories of sexual abuse from your close friends and family.
Okay, so with me on my blog, I've shared like everything sexual, right? Comes to my mind, I was WhatsApping with a guy yesterday, he has a girlfriend, I used to sleep with him, you know, we slept together a month ago, I wanted him to come down and go down with me, like I blogged about it this morning, just because I was inspired to. So like I pretty much put everything out there, including the sexual abuse, so I don't think it's a sexual abuse that sticks out. How have family and friends dealt with it? Friends have been extremely supportive. Like you can see, I can get my friends to come and sit here and do a whole series of readings. Maybe it just shows that I can encourage people to do things they might not want to do. But friends have been very, very supportive. Family, it's funny because like it's only like maybe the past year that I told my mom about my sexual abuse and her response, and I'm not sure she'd be happy with me saying this, but anyway. Hopefully she wouldn't like what she could say, was for her to share her experience of sexual abuse with me. You know, which makes me realize how common it is. It's just that we don't speak about it. And we have a huge fear about it, because my fear with telling her was I thought she was going to go after that uncle who abused me, because he's still very much, you know, a part of our extended family. And it was really more like, me too, this happened to me, so we just move on. And I think this is what we do as African women, right? We're taught to move on, like just sort of put it behind you. I think I'm quite lucky because I have the gift of compartmentalization. I can put things in boxes and lock it away. And I genuinely believe, and I may be wrong, I genuinely believe the sexual abuse I've experienced has had no negative consequences on me, but that's me, maybe it has, and I don't know. You know, but I just choose to move on with my life and not worry about it. What I choose to do is share my story and talk to other people who've had similar experiences, because really I don't feel there's much else that I can do. I recognize that for a lot of other women, it's not the same. It's completely different. So, yeah, I don't know if anybody else wants to say something.
I think I also echo what Nana said. My friends have been very supportive, and it's been good to have that support. My family, most of my family does not know how open I am on my blog. So I think until they find out, I'm kind of safe. My mom, I read in the piece, she told me about hers like in the middle of me telling mine. And I just felt like she wasn't paying attention. And then this just happened a few days ago as well. Like, we went back and talked about mine, but like within like 5 minutes we're back. I feel like you never really processed mine. It's just, oh, it happened to me as well, and mine was worse. So, well, in the U.S., in an activist term we call oppression Olympics, it looks like which is worse, mine or yours. Whereas I feel like as a parent, there should be a different response to the incident that actually happened to the kid on your watch. I'm not saying hers is not important, I'm just saying as a parent that perhaps the attention should be on the, you know, on the kid. Sharing has been very helpful for me because it's given me a chance to reach out, and other people have reached out to me as well. So I think of it as I'm doing my bit, putting myself out there, even though it's hard, is important because it gives other people a chance to also say, this has happened. And I want to write about it, or I've written about it here, and I want you to post it. You know, so it's been helpful to put it out there.
It's funny that way because we don't know how to deal with the news. People don't know what to say. And perhaps she told her mother, and that's what her mother also told her about her experience. So if you listen to the three speaking radio stations, and there's a big case about a little girl who has been abused, the way they represent, the way they report it, they're more interested in how he did it. You know, and then when generally when there's a representative on rape, the focus is on the rapist. What was going through his mind? Why did he do this? What was his fault? Nobody focuses on the person who has been raped. And when the focus comes a little bit on the person who has been raped, the questions are, what did she do to make him rape her? And I feel that it's because people just don't know how to deal with it, and maybe that's something we need to be talking about. How do we become more supportive? How do we deal with it? Because at this stage, I feel that people genuinely don't know what to say or how to behave. And so their response is much more damaging than you would expect.
Grace. Sorry, let me give it to Grace that she's waiting for a lot, and we'll come back to your calls.
Thank you. My question kind of, I've always had difficulty talking about, sexual abuse and, issues of that nature, because I struggle to sort of talk about it in the right way, if you like. I have a background in social work, and I quit because the one person at a time thing, there was way too much transference there, I couldn't deal. But then I was still interested in women's issues and the gender studies instead, because then I was more interested in the larger social issues. In a lot of situations or themes sort of around abuse, you cannot separate the two. So I find that the public discourse around abuse goes in a particular direction in different contexts in different areas. And then when you kind of, you're talking about it in this kind of system, it takes on a particular character. And then there's obviously the very personal nature of, the stories and the issues that come out. And so I find that none of the conversations are very sort of satisfying, for me, because I don't get any, there's no conclusion to it. And so I think the question that I'm asking is, how, if you're interested in this or you're trying to address something, how do you grapple with, those kinds of issues? Because, that somebody asked you a question about, or you just spoke about how you saw sort of male and female, how the value of men and women. And I just don't see, you can have one position, but that's so firmly, connected to your personal experience. And how do we come up with answers? I have, I want an answer. I want to know what is rape, and that we're still struggling with defining what rape is very problematic for me. That we're still struggling to understand what are the dynamics around, female's sexuality and the value, and male, and masculinity and the value of the penis is very problematic, because when you talk about it in different ways, you get different answers. So I guess my question, how you guys are.
I mean, I think for me the definition of rape is very simple. Because I don't want to say having sex, because it's not having sex. It's penetrating someone against their will. It's like
I know the UK, and I'm using the UK as an example because I used to work for the Metropolitan Police Service, and there was penetration with a penis or penetration with an instrument. You know, so if there was no penetration, it's not rape, but I think that's problematic. And it was as penetration by a penis, which meant that men could not be raped, which I know men can be raped as well. Sorry. So penetrating a man was raped with by another man, a penis had to be involved, right? Otherwise it would not be. But for me, it's non-consensual sex. And that's what rape is, non-consensual sex. But I don't even want to use the word sex, because I feel like it's kind of different. Really, any thoughts?
Yeah, I'm glad you talked about the fact that men can also be raped. I mean, I heard a lot of stories when I first came to Ghana about how boys are actually abused in the boarding schools. It came as a surprise to me because where I come from, I never really heard such stories. And that's one of the reasons why I came back. I wanted to find out what was actually going on. And the damage that has been done in society worldwide with abuses in schools, in boarding schools, is wider than we think. I mean, in this room alone, I don't know how many people have the courage to put their hands up who's been abused. Generally, men and women. How many can we count? That's just one room. You know? It's such a hard thing to talk about. I find it difficult. In my practice, there's not a month that goes by without somebody coming to me with a story of sexual abuse and how they cope. I have a formula because I have like 10 tips of how to cope. Suppression is one of them, but it's good to start with. You can ignore it, maximum 4 weeks. You know, it will definitely come back. If not now, 10 years, 20 years, it will affect your character and your behavior. If you get married, it will affect your marriage. You will pass on that mindset to your children. That's why, like we heard before, you know, you tell your mother, I've been raped, I've been abused, and say, oh, so have I. You know, and they said it could have even gone as far as your grandparents, you know. And not talking, unfortunately, is one of the main problems. And that's why I always encourage people to go and see a counselor or a psychotherapist or a good friend or a priest, you know. But in society, I think going to a counselor is a bit more anonymous, because the person has no involvement with you, and they have to be, you know, it's unconditional. And it's also very, very confidential. You know, so you can talk freely about it, but I think my belief is that you definitely have to offload it. It's like a cancer in your body. You cannot keep it in. You need to talk about it. You need to express it. Some people express it through poetry, through painting, you know, but you have to do something. You can talk about it, you can scream, you can cry, you can beat your pillow, you can tear up pieces of paper, but you have to do something.
What they go through to just report is more degrading than the actual, you know, the actual rate, I think. Because everybody else gets to know, and then you get quizzed to the finest detail, while the guy, or the woman, I think we didn't really talk about that, is walking around somewhere else. So I think, honestly, that we aren't actually going to come to any conclusions, because human beings have an investment in a certain way of life. And that will keep walking around the same subject over and over again until maybe there's enough women and men who have been raped that stand up and actually do something, or there's an organization that says this nonsense has to stop. I don't know, maybe I'm being a pessimist. I just don't see a solution coming anytime soon. But the beginning of solutions starts with talking about it and talking to other people about it, and definitely getting a therapist, because having a neutral party is very important.
I wish I could answer your question, and I think that in some way I might be able to, because I'm also somebody who's big on action and like things needing to be defined and things needing to make sense. So even though in this room we're still passing definitions like masculinity and hierarchy and what is rape, it's just because it's this room and we're having an initial conversation about it. There are places where those things have been parsed. And for me, the solution for this stuff, actually, in my opinion, lies in legislation, and also lies in the larger society. So I'm one of the few women I know who has been lucky enough to not have ever been abused. But I am one of so few that I'm touched by it all the time. And I think that the root of a solution to this is actually training people to know what to say when they are told, or to train people how to listen to it. Because part of the reason why I'm so passionate about this stuff is when I was 9 years old, class four, the teacher was just a serial pedophile. And he raped a bunch of girls in the class. But it was always the vulnerable girls, the girls that didn't have parents in Ghana, the girls, the bad girls, the girls who already had a reputation, right? And a lot of those girls have been in trouble since class one for this, or singing a dirty song, or kissing a boy behind the classroom, or whatever. And a friend of mine who was so, you know, so to speak, in the eyes of the public, a bad girl, told me that the teacher had raped her, and I was a class prefect. And the headmistress somehow found out about this and called me to give a testimony about whether this girl had said the teacher had raped her. And I said yes, she told me the teacher had raped her. But this girl was known for making up stories and sort of being a chronic liar or whatever. And so I didn't believe her. And the headmistress didn't believe her. And the headmistress made her kneel down and apologize to the teacher. I swear down. When I was a teenager, I started talking to other girls who were in that class, four class, and I realized that asshole totally raped them. Like, but he used to press the rest of us. He didn't actually, like, rape anybody. And so everybody was like, oh no, he's just, you know, he just squeezed you. I mean, if he said he raped you, you're just... But evidently, predators prey on vulnerable children. They pick the kids that no one will believe. They pick the kids who already have a reputation. It's the same reason why prostitutes get raped. Because guys think like, oh, who's going to believe it? She's shashi. Like, she sells this every day. I can take it without paying for it. Or I can do whatever I want to her. And for me, I think talking about sexual abuse starts with the listeners. Because since then, since I found out that this girl totally got raped and I totally failed her by not believing her, and by, you know, being one of the authority figures being called in her trial for lying against this teacher, I'm a lot more sensitive to what I hear about it. And I think the solution actually lies in the listeners. Because once
people who are told about sexual abuse can deal with it differently, we encourage people to talk about it. The reason why no one talks about it is because there's no audience for it. It's just awkward silence. You know, it's just, oh, I'm sorry that happened to you, and it's awkward. But the point is, the reason why people don't want to believe that it happens is because it makes us really scared at how fucked up the world is. It's why when children tell their parents don't want to buy it, or when people tell their sisters, people try to downplay it. Because it's like, if we let ourselves face how absolutely ubiquitous it is, how often it happens, it makes us feel powerless. And it makes the world seem like a very scary and messed up place. So for me, the solution lies in people being trained to listen. People being trained to believe people. Because saying you've been abused is such a huge thing that very few people will say it for shits and giggles. Like, it's not something people randomly just sort of make up and today I'm going to walk up and talk about how somebody raped me just because. It doesn't really work that way. And once we can do that, once we can listen, then we can start bringing people to book. Because a big problem is that because we don't listen, then people don't get punished for it. So that's my solution, or at least that's what I think is a solution.
I just want to say that I feel that part of what adds to our inadequacy of dealing with rape is the fact that we are looking for one perfect solution for everybody. But abuse and sex is very, it's dualistic in nature. In my experience, it's maybe very different from Akosua's, and the way I deal with it, or the kind of support I may give, may be very different from what Akosua may need. And so I think that in as much as we have to consider and look at how generally we would deal with rape, it has to be about that particular person speaking to you at that time and what they need, not what the UN has decided that you do for people who have been abused, because that may not be what they need. And also I just wanted to touch on the fact that we've been saying rape as well, that's the reason that can traumatize, that if there's no penetration, then you're okay, you know, read Genesis 10, you'll be fine. It doesn't happen that way. I mean, if you remember a bit of the poem that I read, the persona grew up not wanting to eat any meat or drink any milk. She became a vegetarian because then it reminded her of taking someone's penis into their mouth and having to taste something that looked like milk. She, in the poem, she was never penetrated, but she had been traumatized for the rest of her life, maybe. So let's not talk about rape as though somebody has to pat your legs and enter you, and so that is when you have the right to traumatize. And the solution doesn't have to be a general thing. Just deal with the situation right in front of you, one at a time, maybe you'll get to it.
Okay, this is our last question.
It's not a question. It's not a question. Hello.
Hello.
I just want to add a question. From what they just said, realized or learned that we humans are doing something that is not set down. When we go to the animal kingdom, they are not like that. They don't go in for the younger ones. Only us humans go in for our little ones. We have to learn to pay ourselves and go in at the right time when the woman is mature or when the man is mature. You understand? So it's all about spirituality, all about guiding yourself with a moral code. You understand? Men and women that go in for their younger ones are more than even the animals, because animals are not doing so. So
all right. Thank you so much to our panelists.
Thank you. Can we give them a big hand?